Gabby is his wife. She's a wonderful musician. And we would have liked her to worship tonight with us, but unfortunately the piano's a little bit out of sync, so she doesn't feel quite comfortable, so if you guys will excuse her for that tonight, but we have the CDs available afterwards for sale if you want to... Oh, and she plays the harp, thank you. Yeah. Some of the other friends that visit now. So yeah, she plays the harp and all kinds of instruments, piano and guitar and all that. All I can say is that we really love them, and I hope that you guys will get to love them too, the little bit that you hear them and see them.
Erev Tov, Mashlomchem. Oh, when are they going to do this? You don't know. Good evening. Do we need a mic? I mean, I don't think with my voice you need a mic, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and if you don't hear me, it means that you have a hearing problem, or you need to come closer, yeah?
If you can't hear me, you can talk with me, because I can hear
you. Yes. Okay, good evening. Actually, I speak Yiblish, which is a mixture of English and... in Hebrew, so you will excuse my accent. I don't have a heavy African accent. I don't know which accent I have, but you know. So you bear with me. And what I would like to do tonight is just to be available, to be frank with you, to be available to you, to God first, but you know, it's not hoopla hoola, super... spiritual, you know, I'm not super spiritual. God is very practical. So when I say to be available to God, is to be available that God will use me to speak to your lives. Sounds fair enough? So you can start praying. Yeah, because I'm really dependent on His Ruach, on His Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, or Spirit of Holiness. Holy Spirit, some of you know it. Yeah, like. And actually, I will talk for... an Israeli half an hour, you know, because I want to be led by the Spirit, and the Spirit sometimes takes Israeli time, you know, the clock. So it's not Swiss nor African. Okay? When we say 30 minutes, it's around 30 minutes. It can be 29 and it can be 59 minutes, you know. Depends how the Spirit leads. But I'm serious. I'm not joking. Yeah. But hopefully 30 to 40 minutes I will share with you from the Word. And then I want to be available to your questions. Whatever comes in your mind, you know, through your mind. And I mean, whatever. The only thing I can promise, I will try to answer. And if I don't know the answer, I will tell you, sorry, ask somebody else. No, I mean it. Because... I'm not expert on anything. I'm just trying to be available and a tool in the hand of God, okay? So, why shouldn't we start? You know what? Let me sit. Huh? Yeshua, everybody knows when I say Yeshua, whom I'm talking about? Okay? Some call him Jesus, okay? Yeshua. We call him Yeshua like his mother called him when she called him for breakfast or lunch. She never called him Jesus! Lunch is ready! Because he would continue playing. Yeshua, salvation. Oops. Yes, Mama. Okay? So, Yeshua is, of course, Jesus for some of you. So, let me start with, you know, when I prayed and I asked Abba, what would you like me? I don't know these people. I don't know anything. I don't have your background, nothing. I felt led to actually share with you today, tonight, from the Haftarah. We call it Haftarah. Some call it Haftarah, you know? Haftarah in Hebrew, okay? It comes from the Hebrew word. It's there, by the way, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, Jews read every Shabbat, every Sabbath, from the Torah and from the prophets, okay? And actually, the Torah portions are always connected with the prophets, okay? I mean the subject, and you will see soon, okay? So, while reading, you know, we are actually preceding you when we read our portions in Israel by 1 week. Don't ask me why. I don't think it's a good idea. I think we should all be united and reading the same portion, yeah? So allow me, I'm coming from Israel, I will read you the Israeli one. Okay? What you probably will read next week. So this will be maybe good preparation for next week. Who knows? Yeah. So I want to read and to talk from the Haftarah, the portion from the prophets of this weekend, this Shabbat, okay, in 2 days, every Jewish synagogue, in every Jewish synagogue in Israel at least, they will read it, okay, together with the Torah portion, and we will touch on it also. so we will, most of the message tonight will be taken from the Haftarah, okay, some from the New Testament, some from the Torah, okay, but it will be all connected by God's grace, okay? So, let me start with a question. How many of you, actually I should say, how many of us felt at times in our walk, you know, in our journey, let's call it, with Yeshua, with the Abba, with the Father, okay, with the Spirit, how many of us felt that we have to walk through high mountains and then zip down into the very, very low valley, some of which felt like the valley of the shadow of death, yeah? How many of us have those ups and downs in our walk with Yeshua? How many, yes, why not, yeah? By the way, I'm a Jewish teacher, Israeli teacher, yeah? And with us, we are not familiar with the Western, you know, kind of teaching, you know, frontier, yeah? I'm professor this and this, or reverend this and this, and now you shut up and let me teach you. And all of you, forget about it with me. You can interrupt with me, I mean it. What? What did you say? How does it fit to this? I am welcoming it. Okay? This is actually the Hebrew way of studying, deep studying of scriptures is actually arguing with each other. Okay, exchanging opinions, but sometimes with shouting, you know? For those who are not familiar with this culture, you think that we are going to kill each other soon. Just take the pistol or the knife, you know, whatever, yeah? But no! Actually, we take the next coffee, and continue to argue with each other. That's the way we do it. So, welcome, okay, to an Israeli evening. So, beloved, how many of you felt or are feeling tonight, you don't need to show hands, I don't want to embarrass anyone here, alone in the walk with Messiah? Alone in the sense that you feel that nobody thinks like you, nobody understands you, everybody's wrong, you are left alone. Okay, I will be the volunteer, okay, for the all of you who really feel like this, but are too ashamed to do it, to raise your hands. At times we feel we are alone. We have disagreed with our rabbi, with our pastor, with our friends. We say, how can they not see it? Oh, am I alone? I cannot. Welcome to the club. Yep. Usually I don't use this, but not to make too many mistakes, I will use it. Okay, beloved, I want to introduce to you someone who actually passed through all those ups and downs and the valleys of the shadow of death, through hunger, through thirst, you know, for feeling left alone, etc., etc. Okay? But I would love someone, Mr. Seed Jr., but come over here, please. And this is, by the way, recorded, so nobody can misquote me later on. I want you to read from verse 46, from 1 Kings. We are in 1 Kings, if you want to open your Bibles, and prove me wrong. First Kings 18, verse 46, all the way through 19, the next chapter. First Kings 19, till let's go to 2. To verse 20. Actually, no, to the end of the chapter. Come on, Sid, you can do it.
1846.
Through all the chapter of 19.
Should I do this one?
Yeah, you know why I added a few more verses so I can finish my...
And I'm reading his version, so if it's not, doesn't appear in your Bible, it's because yours is unauthorized.
Okay. By the way, whatever version you want to read, you don't need to read from my
Bible. Fine, I'll read it here. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die, and said, "It is enough, now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then, as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him, and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake, baked on coals in a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time, and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu the son of Nimshi as king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him, and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen, and ran after Elijah, and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elisha turned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slaughtered them, and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah, and became his servant.
May I ask you to pray for us? To ask God's Spirit to
us. Hashem, we come before you this evening. And we want to just acknowledge, truly, there is only one God. God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Thank you that Yeshua is our Savior. Thank you that the Ruach can come and dwell within our hearts so that we will be spoken to obey the words that you have written in Torah. May we tonight be blessed. May your anointing be upon Rabbi Yana, that the words that he may speak may come from you directly into his heart. And may we be attentive to hear the voice, to acknowledge and take in, to be obedient, and to do only your will. Spirit of the living God, bless us here tonight. In the name of Yeshua Mashiach. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you. Beautiful story. I'm sure that most of you are aware of it. And it's interesting that in Israel, again, I'm not sure about the synagogues here, in Israel, in 2 days, they will, in Shabbat, yeah, Saturday, all the synagogues, without exception, will read from the Torah portion and then will go for the prophet. Portion, they will read just what Sid Jr. read to us. Okay? Beautiful story, one of my beloved stories in the Bible. Yeah? You know, you can use this story as a lullaby, you know, to read to your children. You know, once upon a time there was a great man of God, yeah? Until they fall asleep. You can. There are many, many layers to this story. And I, in no way, a claim that I know all the depths, you know, that I reached all the depths. You know, the Bible has so much depth. If it wouldn't be so, you wouldn't need to read it again and again. Right? You wouldn't need to read the Torah. We didn't hear again and again the prophets. Well, every time you have something new to glean on it, right? So I don't claim even that what I will share with you even scratch the surface of the depth. But it is deep. This for me. So I hope that you will be blessed. Okay? So why, let's start with a simple question. Why did the rabbis, who actually chose the portions, the division, it's a modern division, by the way. In Yeshua's time, it was different. Okay? In Yeshua's time, they read it in a, not in a yearly cycle, but every 3.5 years. They read the Torah and the prophets. Okay? 3.5 years. Sounds familiar? Anyway, but the question is, why the modern rabbis, yeah, Chazal, you know, why did they actually adjoin this portion, this haftarah, to the portion of the week from the Torah? In order to answer it, we need to know what is the portion of the week which is attached to it. And this is the portion of Pinchas, from the book of Numbers. Okay? Pinchas the Zealot. Remember what he did? Yeah. And actually, what does Elijah claim before God? What we read? Oh, I am zealous, you know, to the God, right? Yeah. Zealousy is in both portions. In the Torah and in the prophets. Are you with me? So far. Good. But there is something else which is similar between the Torah and the Haftarah. The portion from, that we just read. And it is, beloved, listen carefully, exchange of leaders. Elisha is going to replace Elijah. A new era starting. And actually not only new era, but a progressive revelation will be in the days of Elisha. After all, Elisha is going to receive double portion. If you thought Elisha was a man of God, Elisha is even double than Elisha. Elisha is double than Elijah. Are you with me? Follow me. And on the other hand, you know, in the beginning, in the Torah, Numbers, in the portion of Pinchas, Pinhas, yeah, the son of Eleazar, the high priest, it includes jealousy in the beginning, but towards the end of the portion, check me next week, there is an exchange of leadership. God says, dear Moses, you remember what happened in the wilderness of Zin? Remember how you did not hallow my name like I asked you to do? Remember you hit the rock instead of talking to it? You remember how your brother, he died in Hor, the mountain? It's your turn, buddy. Go to the mountain. Go up. And Moses, sweet Moses, sweet, I am not joking, sweet in his character. No wonder the Torah says that there was no humble man, Anav, in Hebrew, than Moses. I believe only Yeshua was greater than Moses, like the Bible says, yeah? In all things, like with his humility, humbleness. But Moses, as a humble, true leader of the people, he doesn't say, okay, bye-bye guys, see you, I don't know where I see you, okay, bye-bye. No, he begs God, please, you are the God of all spirits. Please put somebody, you know, who will go before, who will go out and come in before the people. They need a shepherd. For the last 40 years I was here, but now you are taking me. Who will take them into the land? And God accepts his plea. And of course, he tells him, take Joshua. And the rest of the story is history. Beloved, like with Elisha, which received double portion, Joshua receives double portion. In the very sense that Moses was not allowed to cross over to the good promised land. And Joshua is allowed to lead his people in. New era, new period. So this is the connection between the two. Okay, that's why the rabbis wisely decided to adjoin those two portions, Pinhas and after Elijah. Okay? Now I want to speak about the ups and downs in the believer's life. And guess what? They always include our flesh. Our dirty, filthy flesh. And I have a surprise to share with you, which I really hope will build you up, beloved people of God. God is not surprised by your weak flesh. God actually will use your weakness. You think God was surprised by the adrenaline drop of Elijah? He just slaughtered 400 prophets of Baal. Hee hee! And the next day, when Jezebel, actually an island of garbage in Hebrew, Izebel, it's not Jezebel, island Zebel, garbage, junk. Now I mean it, this is the Hebrew. Izebel opened her yucky pucky mouth and put the pain. What happened to you, Elijah? What happened to us when we have great revelation of the Most High and the next day we repeat the same old sin and we feel so ashamed? Kill me, Abba! Kill me! I'm not better than my forefathers! How many of you experience this in their lives? It's because you are a true believer. You are not fake. God is not interested in yes men, no men. Soldier. Highness, hunting! God help me! Really? Go! No. Without God's Spirit, you are nothing. And nothing plus nothing makes nothing. I'm not better than my forefathers. Kill me now.
Double portion of nothing.
Hmm?
A double portion of nothing.
Of that as well. Adrenaline drop. Guess what? If you did not experience it yet, you will. And you know why? Because God uses our weak flesh to imply His sovereign plan, which He had for you and me from before the foundation of the earth. Are you with me?
Yeah.
God wants you to raise up to a new level, to a new era with Him, from glory to glory. So He will allow this adrenaline to work. But Elijah, beloved, what do you do when you feel you are far away from God? Pity party. What do you do usually? You are depressed, and immediately you think, ay, I need to go back to my roots. I need to go back to where everything started. Where everything started? The mountain of God, Sinai, Horeb. Some claim there are two mountains, but I don't even get into it, they're in the same area. Actually, Moses visited the same cave that Elijah visited. Your Bible. Trust. Not me, trust the Bible. So let's not argue if Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. I believe it is together. Okay? Maybe it's two peaks in the same mountain range. Yeah. Big deal.
Amen.
Okay? It's the same location. My friends, I'm so depressed. I'm so down in my adrenaline. I need revelation. I need you, God. I need to experience you again. How many of you experience this need? If you did not, you are not a true believer. Yes, I dare say it. If you think once saved, always saved, once baptized by the Holy Ghost, forever baptized, you never read your Bible maybe. Or maybe you read it once upon a time and you forgot it already. Because in the Bible, my Bible at least, Paul says, feel yourself, be filled with the Spirit. Daily, be filled. We need to experience God on daily basis. And if we do not, we need to feel so hungry and so thirsty that we yearn to eat and eat and eat. And by the way, when we feel so, the enemy comes and attacks, you know, flesh. They're not better than your forefathers. Friends, we must have a new experience, revelation, fresh experience of God, fresh touch. Are you with me? So where does Elijah go to find this fresh experience? Back to sweet Moses. Back to the Torah. Why do you think he goes there? Why do you think he did not go to Switzerland? Or to Cape Town? Why? Why he departed from Jezreel context? Remember? When the Spirit of God visited him and he ran before here, you know, the last chapter, yeah? After slaughtering, you know, the adrenaline is there, yeah? Mm-hmm. And he went before the chariot, all the way to the gate of Jezreel, Mount Gilboa. I'm a tour guide, so I must say where it is. Okay? In the north, Armageddon, Jezreel Valley, okay? From there, he walks south to Beersheba, leaves his servant, just read it, yeah? And goes for how long? 40 days and 40 nights. Does this remind you of somebody else?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Come again.
Moses.
Very good. Sweet Moses.
Yeah, sure.
That's true. Yeah, but we are dealing now with the two persons. Soon we will go to the New Testament. Beloved, because they are all connected. Mm-hmm. One book. Beloved, He walks 40 days and 40 nights in order to meet the living God. Are you with me? Oh, Israel, I am here. Thank you.
It's okay. He's living for 40 days and 40 nights to find the water.
He goes for 40 days and 40 nights. As Moses waited 40 days and 40 nights, and only after this God revealed himself to him. Are you with me? Remember, he called him up. Friends, there is a new Mosaic experience, but not exactly new. Actually, I'm sorry, let me retrace it, okay? Actually, there is supposedly the same experience that Moses experienced, yeah? But it is on a new level. Remember when God will use your flesh, when he will use your adrenaline drop, in order to actually grow you to a different level? Not different, but to a higher level, yeah? In the walk with him, from glory to glory. When God will reveal himself afresh to you, it will always be in a new way, which will not contradict the old ways. It will be in a new way, new fresh way, which will lead you to a new expression of your faith. Are you with me? He goes and he thinks he will have Mount Sinai experience. Aha. And he goes and he hides in the cave that I believe with all my heart, Moses visited himself. And lo and behold, he has Mount Sinai experience. Let me read it to you. Not where he read, but let me bring you back to Exodus. Shall we? Exodus 19. Are you still okay?
Yes.
I have no idea. I don't have a watch. I don't know if I... past my 30 minutes. No, I don't want to look at it. Don't tell me there is a word. 19. Beloved, Exodus 19, verse 16. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of a trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like a smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain quaked greatly. Shall I continue with the people's reaction? Moses! Go you! Whatever he says, let him say to you. And it is repeated in the book of Hebrews 11. Or 12, anyway. Somewhere there. Beloved, now let's read Elijah's experience and tell me that it's not similar. Verse 11 of 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. He said to him, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces. The mountain shook, trembled. Great noise. The Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. Did we see the earthquake in that event? Etc., etc. What do you think Elijah expected to hear next? No, it's only logic, common sense. He expected to hear the sound of the trumpet, which did not actually descended power, but actually ascended in power. Can you imagine? How many of you blow the shofar? How long can you blow it, but each second to blow it harder than another, another, with no limit. Only God, because God blew it. And God spoke. So Elijah, for sure, I'm just imagining me now, in this case. Woo! There you win! Woo! Ah! I'm going to hear God now. Oh, save the Lord, God! No, the Lord is not there. What? Earthquake. Oh, for sure it's an earthquake. No. Oh, so it's not exactly like Mount Sinai. Oh, by fire. You know, it was on smoke, remember? Now God will speak. No voice. And then, what in English, weak English, it says, and after the fire was a still small voice, it's in Hebrew call voice, dmama, complete silence, but not only silence, it's from dom, domul Adonai. Yes, sir. Oh, fear, reverence. Daka. Daka is the opposite of shamen, ave. There is fat, there is thin. It was very thin. Hardly you can hear it. And Elijah, in his low adrenaline drop, in complete self-pity party, recognized immediately that God is there. How come? Because Elijah was just about to move to the next level in his walk with God. And God told him, yes, I am the God of Mount Sinai, but I am not stuck at Mount Sinai.
Amen.
You came to find me at Mount Sinai. What are you doing here at all? If you don't believe me, you'll be asking, read your Bible. We just read it. What are you doing here? Like he didn't know. You should not even be here. He sent him back miles and miles. Even further than where it started in Jezreel. All the way to Damascus. Syria. Same place of today. What are you doing here? You don't need to go back to Mount Sinai. It's about time that you go from glory, to a higher glory, where you can recognize me in the still, small voice. Hopefully you got it. I pray, and I trust the Spirit that He spoke to you. And the very last one, before we end this talk and I open it to Q&A, I want to speak about names. I don't need to speak to you about how important are names in the Bible. I hope I'm preaching to the right, the choir. Friends, remember that we talked about the shift of personnel, Moses to Joshua, here Elijah to Elisha. Do you think it's just a coincidence? There is the events where God is fully involved, but with the help of people. Like the daughter of Pharaoh, who Moshe, at Moshe out of the water. Moses comes from Moshe, Limshot, to pull out from the water somebody. Read your Bible, that's why he was named Moses. It's God, providence, through the daughter of Pharaoh, pagan daughter of Pharaoh, yeah? To save 3 months old. Son, yeah? From whatever was there, crocodile, whatever, yeah? To save him from hunger, yeah? and to make him the great leader, shepherd of Israel. Are you with me, Redeemer of Israel? But when Moses needs to open the way for the next level, Joshua comes in. Yah is one of the names of God. Speaks about his strength. Yah is salvation. Yah will save. This is the meaning of Joshua. Are you with me? Not no more redeemer by the hand of men. But Redeemer is only me. He could take you out of Egypt. He cannot get you into the promised land. Promised land, you need a much greater man. Or shall I say, representation of a much greater idea. Salvation. There is the Redeemer and there is the Savior. You cannot without the Redeemer. But if you will stuck with the Redeemer at Sinai, you will never get to the true salvation. If you will be stuck in Sinai, you will be puffed up, proud. Why do this, I do that, I kill this guy. Why do you need Jesus? Why do you need Yeshua, for God's sake? If you're so good managing it. And back to the Haftarah. Who is changing whom? Elijah. Yah, like Yoshua. Yah is my God. Eli. Yah. My God, Eli, his name is Yah. He is Yah. This is the meaning. But this needs to be put aside. We know that Yah is your God. But what about your need for Elisha? God is my salvation. God is salvation. God wants us to grow from glory to glory. And unlike people today teaching churches in the synagogues, then it means that we need to keep better the commandments, that we need to be strong in the world. God says you need to be more of a servant. You need to know more of your disabilities. Yes. And cry out to me. Yes, you are my God, Elijah, but I need Elisha. Yes, God is good, but I need Yeshua to pass to the next level. That's the message for tonight, I believe.
Hallelujah.
It's up to you to wait it in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, questions and answers. Or if you want to take some rest. Or whatever.
May I ask a question?
Please.
Yeah. Why is there a cave? Because I read once that a cave is more conducive to arguing.
Piachirot.
The word Piachirot. You would know it? I don't want to make
it. Piachirot. Piachirot is not a cave.
What is it now?
Yeah, mouth is not... Okay, I understand. I understand the connection. You make... Cave is a mouth, yeah?
And I said, but I think when Elijah went to the cave, he was arguing with God. I read a portion of explanation about it. He argued with God. Even if God, when God asked him, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
God, I was this, I was jealous. It's an argue. He said he was arguing with God. Is that the correct interpretation?
I would... It's another... Another facade. Another thing, you know, I told you that I don't know if I've been scratching the depth, yeah? But I'm sure somebody else will come and get you even deeper into the message here, okay? So it might be a good interpretation.
Thanks.
We can figure that one out. Was Elijah Jewish?
He was.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you mention something very interesting about Syria? In the end, there's now a lot of things going on there. And Elijah had to go and anoint the king there. What does that name mean, the name of the king?
Hazael. Oh, yeah. I thought that I did not... I mean, we could go all in order, many messages, but I believe God wanted me to concentrate on what I told you, okay, about glory from glory. I call it actually from Elijah to Elisha, from Moses to Joshua. This is the title, if you want the title, to that's what I wrote at least. So, you know, again, we can address this very passage in many ways, but for to satisfy the curiosity, Hazael, the one who, Chazon, who have revelation of God. Vision. Thank you. Vision, vision, vision. Chazon is vision.
Thank you.
You're welcome. More questions, Lord.
Hebrew 12?
Yes.
Hebrew 12. Mm-hmm. You did say you're going to make a link to Hebrew, to the book of Hebrew.
Yes, yes. Not just this. Thank you, my lady. Yes. Yes. Let's go there. You mind? Come on, you are people of God. We love the Bible. It's 12, Hebrews 12. Okay. Here. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Because actually, it's in Hebrew, but Israel can tell you I'm not, I would never lie to you. Okay? Not to anyone else, I pray. No, no. I'm a believer, we should not lie, but Israel can later on read, and this is one of the references that I put to read. And anyway. Okay. Let's read Hebrews, because it's a conclusion of this message. Thank you. Verse 14. Hebrews 12:14. Let's really the Spirit talk to us. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of, what did I speak about? Grace. He doesn't need our strength. He doesn't need our hoopla hula. You know, in the last day when Yeshua will come, many will tell him, in your name we cast demons, in your name, you know, strong man of God, depart from me, you evildoers or lawlessness. Are you with me? He's interested on dependent people, bunch of people who need a savior. Grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burnt with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged the word that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion. Do you see the difference? Elijah, what are you doing here? Excuse me. Hey. Back the way you came, and further to Damascus. I have mission before I replace you. You came to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirit of the just man made perfect, to Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. And by the way, may I another one? May I, and then the next question? Second Corinthians. Bear with me 1 second. Second Corinthians. I think it's because I put it there, so why should I write, read it? Second Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3. Verse 12. Please listen. I hope that you bear witness that it all connects to the message that you heard today. I mean, Hebrews, thank you again, lady, precious sister, and also this one, it's also here in my notes. Verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. Verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the end of what was passing away. By the way, it speaks about Moses' face. It speaks about Moses' body that God used to show his glory. But now he's going to show his glory even better through Yeshua, salvation. Yeah? But their minds were blinded, for until this day, I mean they, the Jews who did not believe in Yeshua, okay? Mm-hmm. Till today, actually. This was written 2,000 years ago. It's till today. Till today. Till to this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the old, it's not test, the old covenant, Mount Sinai. Because the veil is taken away in Messiah. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding, listen carefully, please. This is the concluding, the very last conclusion of this message. Verse 18 of chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. But we all, sitting here hopefully, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image of the Lord, yeah? From glory to glory.
Amen.
That's what Elijah experienced. That was Moses' experience when he was the only one who was buried by God. You see? Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now I'm done preaching. Yes, next question.
Something interesting which worried me a lot before in my life, but now I know the answer. It's just amazing. When you say from transference from one to another, from Elijah to Elisha, in chapter 19, there was a transference there. When the people said, God don't speak to us.
Mm-hmm.
And they were afraid. That's where there's a gap that came
mm-hmm.
between God and the humans, between God and us.
And it came already in Genesis 3, but yeah. It was another revelation, progressive revelation of that very truth of Genesis 3. Yes.
That's where the mediator came, that's when Yeshua came later on to fill that gap for us.
Yes, sir.
This is an interesting comment.
Good. Good one, yes. Come on, whatever comes up your mind, and I told you, if I don't know, I will say I don't know.
I have a question.
Please!
Tell us about Messianic Judaism in Israel, the landscape with Messianic Jews specifically. How is it looking nowadays?
Can you be more specific? Because this is a big question. No, I mean it, be more specific.
Okay. I want to hear what's the relationship in Messianic Judaism and Christianity in Israel at the moment?
Okay.
And how's the relationship with Judaism?
Excellent seed. As I've told you, promised you, or I will tell you only the truth. Because what will I gain if I don't tell you the truth as it is? In Israel, there are about, some say 150 congregations. We don't call them churches, and we don't even use the Messianic synagogues. Okay, most, yeah. Actually, a Messianic synagogue in the sense of this one. What's the name of this one? Ah, Ladat. Ah, Ladat Hashem. Nice name. Like Ladat Hashem or Baruch Hashem in America or in Messianic synagogues in America. They call them temples. Forget about it in Israel. Messianic Jews in Israel are more like evangelical Christians in the sense of the expression of the faith, and they are the only difference, there are other differences, okay, is that they meet on Shabbat, that they keep the feast, you know what I mean? Just venerate them, and they don't do much in the pagan feasts of Christianity. That's the difference. But they are not exactly, most of them do not have Torah, unfortunately. Now, there are a few, I'm sure you know it. There are food, but I can count. I don't need even 10 fingers to count the, am I right?
Yeah.
The Messianic synagogues in Israel. The relation to Christianity, I think I answered it already in the body of what I just said. More questions?
The relationship to Judaism.
Yeah, but I answered it also, because they don't so much care about Judaism, most of them. That's why they don't have even Torah. So I answered both. They have no relationship with Christianity, the evangelical Christianity, than with Judaism.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I was raised that you have to make a discernment between people call themselves Messianic Jews, and they are expecting the Messiah. They're not really Messianic, like the Christian faith. Is there a distinction for you like that?
No, ma'am. Actually, Jews do not call themselves Messianic. Okay, and if you think about expecting the Messiah to come, all Jews, even secular, they studied, you know, from the forefathers that one day Messiah will come. But you cannot call them Messianics.
Okay.
Messianic is a word game, play on words.
Okay.
Christians should be Christ-like or Christ followers. Christ, the Hebrew, is Greek for anointed one. In Hebrew, Mashiach. So, Messianics, Messiah-like, or Messiah forward, worthy. Of course, the Jews, because of the connotation, because of the unfortunate history of Christianity, and I say, I am including in this one, I don't want to be called Christian. Christians lost the meaning.
Yeah.
What is Christianity? I never converted. Yeshua never converted. No, Paul. Okay? So Christianity became a culture. Okay? Religion, but more, my friend. Culture. I intentionally use the word culture. You ask anyone, a pagan, what are you? If he's not a Muslim, no Jew, he will tell you, I'm a Christian. For the Jews, Hitler was a Christian. Because when you opened Hitler, identity card, no, it was written no Muslim, no Jew. What is left? In the Jewish mind, what is left? So what if he was Lutheran, Schmutheran, Baptist, first Baptist, second Baptist? Who cares? He's a Christian. Yes, somebody, ladies first, or? Okay, ladies first. I will not forget you, but remind me. Yeah. Rabbi ever lived, on the face of the earth. He did not come to improve Judaism. Judaism was quite improved by them. They thought they know everything better than anybody else. If you check history for second and third, Yeshua came as second Adam, or last Adam. When Adam existed on planet Earth with his sweet wife, Eve, they were not clothed. They were naked. Guess what? They were clothed. They were clothed with a glow, Shekinah glow, which has nothing to do with physical dress. That's the only comment I want. Yeshua, we are coming, we are going from glory to glory with no, in my opinion, maybe I'm wrong, may God forgive me. Glory to glory spiritually, because He wants us to be in the image of Him.
Amen.
Who created us. Yeah. Adam, second Adam came to bring us, not to improve Torah, but to bring us to long before the Torah, to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve did not need Torah to obey God before they sinned. Are you with me? Abraham did not have Torah, and it says that he kept all the Torah of God. Mm-hmm. It's relationship. Mm-hmm. It's going from, it's God's theology, a theological seminar, which is life. Mm-hmm. Life teaches you how to go from glory to glory, the ups and downs of life.
I just
want to
connect with what you just said, Psalm 104. I just want to give a scripture to Psalm 104. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover yourself with light. That's what the garment.
Excellent. And what we are? The children of light. Thank you, brother. Yes, Miss. Yes, sir.
I just
want
to find out, what is the difference between Judaism and Orthodox Jews? And then, this is based on this previous discussion, why are you wearing a kippah?
Excellent question. Thank you for the question. Let's start with Judaism and Orthodox, that's right. Judaism is a general name to speak about the Jewish faith. Okay? Within this general description, there are many, many segments of Judaism. There are Reforms, there are Orthodox, there are Conservatives, yeah? They all fit Judaism. A system of Jewish religion. System of beliefs, Jewish beliefs. Sounds good? Why don't I wear a kippah? Here I wear to honor Rabbi, to honor this place. Usually I do not wear a kippah. I don't see it in the Bible. Okay? Now, of course, next question, why don't you wear tzitzit? Why? I'm over 30 years doing it. I'm asking a question, legitimate question. Because, that's a good question. Because the Bible does say to put tzitzit, yeah? But the Bible also says to stone my son when he does not obey me. The same Torah, by the way. Woo! Okay? The same Torah has many, many things that none of the people here sitting doing. So they also read the Torah. But this is not the reason. I do not want to be hypocrite. If I will put tzitzit, and I do not believe I need to cover my head with kippah because it's only from the 16th century, Shulchan Aruch, anyway, in Judaism, when it was obliged, okay? Then people will look at me and say, he has tzitzit and he doesn't have kippah, why? And what separates the third answer, okay, to your question, or to my question, if I'm going to put city, is that even if I will look in Israel, okay? Let's say that tomorrow I grow a beard from here, about 2 kilometers long, then cities, I don't know what, that people who will not stumble on them, their most beautiful black, blue, and white, they're not going to talk, even though I cannot do it. Even this I cannot do today. For other reasons. For other reasons. Even I will look Orthodox. I will know all the prayers. I will know exactly how to walk and how many steps, which I know is with, yeah? I go with you. I came from a religious home. I'm a traditional one, yeah? One thing will separate me and completely don't impress
the Jews. The world is Yeshua. Yeshua, and boom! Take your video! You hypocrite! Take your teachings! All these things you can lie to us? I'm talking from experience. So, why to do it when I have don't stone me yet, when I have the liberty in Messiah. I have a liberty in Messiah. I'm talking about the outer expression, dressing. I have complete liberty, but my liberty should not serve me to come with my bathing suit or my underpants to preach. This would be completely undignified. I'm not talking. Or a lady in bikini or with a beer completely drunk. This is unrighteous. This is not holy. I will dress nicely. If all of you would be dressed with suits, you know, I would put suit to honor you, because that's what Yeshua, my Savior, commanded me. Do not be a stumbling block to anyone. To the Jews, I will be Jewish. I would be residing in Mea Shearim or in you know, one of the Nevrak, the Orthodox. Of course I would look like that. How can I, you know what I mean? I mean, to the Jew, to those who are under the Torah, be under the Torah, but not because you are under the Torah, my Bible says. I am under Messiah's Torah. And Messiah's Torah is liberty of holiness, of righteousness, which is exceeding the righteousness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the last sentence, if I may. Most of Judaism today is based on the rejection of their own Messiah.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking. If you don't want to believe me, it's up to you. Listen, I'm flesh and blood like you. I might be wrong. But I don't think I'm wrong in my last statement. Most of Judaism today is from the second century, when there was a huge gap between the Messianic Jews and the other Jews who did not want to join the Bar Kokhba revolt. I mean, there is a history. The tension started when the temple was destroyed already. Yeah? But the Bar Kokhba, 2nd century, 132 AD, there is even more gap, and the rest is history. Okay? I promise I will. In love. I love the Orthodox. My wife can tell me. I have much more common ground with the Orthodox Jews than the secular Jews. At least Orthodox believe that there is a God. For God's sake. I can start and discuss with them. I have much more in common with the Chabadniks. Chabad is one of the segments in ultra Orthodox Judaism. Yeah? Moderate. Yeah. And I have much more common ground with them, because they believe that Zephyr in 53 speaks about the Messiah. But we disagree about the identity of the Messiah. But with secular, oh, leave me alone with those nonsense. I had one before, if you don't, before you, lady, or you want to? Yes, please.
Okay,
yes, ladies first, please.
Okay, I just want to ask. I heard you say something about Christina. Okay, I'm a visitor here. It's the first time. And there are some terms that you were using that I don't understand, like Torah and
stuff. Oh, I'm so sorry. You want me to explain it, or?
Yeah, you can explain it, but I just want you to clarify something for me.
Please.
You say something about Christianity, the religious, the religious
culture. It became a culture, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When you say it became a culture, what do you mean it became a culture? Because from the little that I knew, is that when Jesus came, he started Christianity.
I understand.
Because the Jews rejected me, and he started with me.
Yeah, but are you done? What's your name?
Mohai.
Mohai? Nice meeting you. Thank you for the question.
Mohan, you read your Bible at last. If you read your Bible, the New Testament, you will see that some of the things that you say are not biblical. I will tell you why. I promise, okay, I will tell you why. When you read the Gospels, you see that they are all within the Jewish context. Hardly Yeshua speaks or touches Gentile. 4 or 5 times he says the Gentile. Everything, all the teachings he does with Jews, he actually says that he did not come to anyone but the lost sheep of Israel. He is the Messiah of Israel. When he's on the cross, okay, there is a Pontius Pilate, alright, he says, Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the King of the Jews. The first believers in the Gospels. I'm not taking you out of the Gospels. Good. What is the following book after the Gospels? Acts. Acts of the Apostles, right? All the first church is Jewish, till Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. And Cornelius, about 15 years after the crucifixion. All the church leaders, the bishops, are Jews. Are you following? No Christianity. No Christianity. It was a Jewish segment. We did, remember I told you about Judaism, the Jewish faith? It was integral part of the Jewish faith. It is still now. What happened during the history, more and more Gentiles came into the faith. And they brought their pagan ways with them. And pagan, it's not only, it's not only, dear sister, it's not only worshipping wood and stones. Paganism is also mindset. You know, many gods, the god of the storm, the god of the sex, the god of whatever, yeah? And they brought the Hellenistic, the Greek mindset into the church. The true church, it started Jewish. And the Bible says God never rejected the Jews. And, no, Romans 11. Sweet sister, I recommend you humbly to read again the Bible. Read it again, but this time remember this crazy Israeli who was here. And check my words. And you can always reach me. Humbly I tell you. Many have my website. Many have my contacts. I am not unreachable. Okay? Can always correct me. Yeah, but what about this? I read about it, they told me, I did not find it, and I will leave you there. Or, I will repent and say you are right. Sounds good? Okay? Read the Bible and see if I am right or not. Now, Torah is the word Torah is teaching. Teaching, it's a Hebrew word, teachings, and it refers to the first 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Okay? This is the Torah. Okay? It's just a Hebrew expression.
Thank you. If I heard you, the Kippah is the only one among the Messianic Judaism among the Masonic, let me not say like that. If I had you, that I wanted to clarify a bit on that. Then my second.
You see about the Kippah?
You said something about the Kippah. Then they asked you a question about why you should not have the Kippah. Then if I had you, he's only one among the Masonic. If I had you.
No. If you did not hear you. I say that personally I do not walk with kippah. But if I go to a synagogue, where it is Adat? Adat Hashem?
Ladat.
Ladat Hashem? Okay? Ladat El, right? Ladat Hashem? Or to any synagogue which is even not Messianic. Regular synagogue, of course I will not dare. The kippah is not a fake thing, it is all in my pocket, it is in my purse all the time. I'm a tomb guy, I go with kippah all the time in my, you know, ready. When I go to the Kotel, Western Wall, of course I will put kippah. Because I don't want to be a stumbling block. But I don't see myself obliged. Before God, I don't believe that God wants me to put a kippah. Otherwise, I commit sin if I, you know what I mean? But I do it in order to honor people, in order to be available for them. And then the next question?
Okay, what about the CD? Because I believe the Israelites were stumbling on the commandment of God. They will do this, they will misdo this, and Hashem told them that, okay, put this tzitzit in order not to forget my commandment.
Yes.
Nowadays, we don't need tzitzit before we remember the commandment of God. Before we remember to do what is right. We can do what is right without tzitzit. We don't, in my opinion, do we need it to do what is right. After all, I came into this faith without tzitzit. So why do I need tzitzit to maintain my salvation? Apostle Paul didn't tell us to put tzitzit. He said, work out your salvation. And he didn't say anything about work it out by putting tzitzit so that you will remember
the first of all, if you ask me if I agree with you, I do agree with you, 100%. Even if somebody will don't like my answer, I do agree. You do know that this is, you came, Paul told the Gentiles, you started without Torah. You came not because of the Torah to the faith. Now you try to go back to the Torah. There is this disorder, this orientation. And I believe what Paul says. I do not reject Paul. Otherwise, all the epistles I can throw to the garbage. Okay? There is a progressive revelation. So I do agree with you. But I allow my brothers, if they feel like God told them to keep kippah, why do I do that? Put the kippah. As long as you don't tell me what to do, you know what I mean? I have the liberty, again, not to sin. Not to sin. But I have the liberty in the expression, the outer expression, you know, whether to put a beard or whatever. I think I have the liberty not to judge you if you put the kippah. But you should act the same. And if you don't, it's your problem with God. See what I mean? That's my out. My take. Yes, ma'am. Well, see, can you continue? I mean, people have more questions. I mean, I'm at your service, whatever. I can stay till midnight. But you are the boss. Okay. You are the small boss. There is a boss, but you are the okay, who was? I don't know. I cannot take. Yes, ma'am. Maybe you tell, I mean, you decide who will ask the question.
Who will ask the question?
Because I don't want to be unfair, because I don't remember. Let's start with the lady, and from that, you tell who will ask.
Can we end with this question? Because I'd like us to get some tea and chat before everyone has to go to bed. Tomorrow's a work day.
Oh, okay, so. Yes, ma'am.
Are you the only believer in your family, or does your father also?
I wish.
Are you a believer in Yeshua? Why I ask this question? I also grew up with the, let me call it, the evangelical proverb, you are not one saved, always saved. But when are you not your father's son?
The last sentence that I understand?
When are you not your father's son anymore?
Never.
I am the child of Hashem.
No, yes, uh-huh.
If I don't grow from glory to glory, when am I not this child anymore?
When can you lose the
salvation? Ah, oh, now I connect. So actually you asked two questions. You asked about me personally. I'm the only one, unfortunately. And unfortunately, I'm the only one in my family. I'm the 10th. I'm the baby. Okay? In my family, and I do ask you to pray for my family. To come to salvation. A prophet is not right in his own home. I try. You know, they know. I mean, it's not a secret. With me, it's not a secret that I'm a believer. Okay? So, now to your other question. Let me tell you like this. I believe you can lose your salvation, but it's like, and I will use a good name, Daigo, a Spanish, who told me this once. This is how hard it is for you to lose salvation. It's like now you decide to climb up the, I don't know, Empire State Building or whatever, I don't know. Choose one and came in here, I don't know.
Table Mountain.
Huh? Table Mountain. Yeah, Table Mountain, yeah. And jump down. And say, I don't want to go. Boom. To lose your salvation, because once you receive Yeshua, your position stand before God changed. He doesn't look at you, sweetie, anymore as a descendant of first Adam, but second Adam. But
if it would be good and you can now fornicate and do whatever you want, oh, okay, say the sinner prayer once upon a time, and now I can go and drink. Then you have the warnings of Esau, you have the warnings, you know, you have the they always say that they encourage them to walk your salvation with fear and trembling. It's not from, I don't believe it's because you go and no, it's reverence. It's know before whom you are standing, you know what I mean? You can hardly lose your salvation. I mean, I wouldn't say it, I only say it in Christian pulpits when I invite them, because they are so much into, oh, I said, oh, I said, and they live so unholy that they must be corrected. But for these people who care for God, who care for His commandments, you don't need to worry about it. You are in a good terms with God. God is a loving Father. Okay?
All right, thanks, Barry. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Before you guys run off,